Hey y'all, Scott Horton here for CashIntoCoins.com. So you want to buy some Bitcoins? CashIntoCoins.com makes it fast, easy, and safe to get Bitcoins. Just deposit the money into their account at any of the major banks they support, and then just email them a picture of the receipt and your Bitcoin address, and you get your Bitcoins. Almost always the same day it clears. In a tough, competitive new market, CashIntoCoins.com has the advantage. A great system and great customer service to keep you coming back. That's CashIntoCoins.com. Just click the link in the right margin at scotthorton.org. All right, everybody, let's talk about CIA torturing people to death. Next up on the show is Jason Leopold from America.aljazeera.com. Revealed, Senate report contains new details on CIA black sites. Welcome back to the show, Jason. How are you doing?
Doing well, Scott. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, good. I'm very happy to have you here. And tell us more about the black sites. I see that the former Nazi, then Soviet, then CIA, then revealed by my wife, Larissa Alexandrovna, torture prison in Poland is part of your story here. What can you tell us about that?
Sure.
What more can you tell us?
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, I just want to make it clear that that a number of these assertions, claims that... you know, that have been leveled about what is going to wind up in that Senate report, that 5-year study that they did on the CIA's rendition, detention, and interrogation program. That for people who have been following this, who have been watching it closely, you know, this is not any new news, but it does mean it's the first official sort of confirmation that, for example, the CIA had a black site at Guantanamo. That there has been a black site at Poland, that there has been one apparently in Diego Garcia, which the British government has vehemently denied that existed. And over the past 10 years, maybe a little longer, you know, a number of journalists, as you mentioned, your wife Larissa, and human rights organizations, I mean, the Associated Press, the Washington Post, they all have reported these stories. They've noted this in published reports, attributing the information to anonymous sources, government officials, you know, intelligence officials. But now the Senate has gone through 6 million pages of records from the CIA, documents from other government agencies, a small set of documents from other government agencies, and even documents that other groups turned over to, you know, to the Senate committee, and this is what they found. So it's finally, you know, this confirmation that, you know, the CIA has been operating this network of prisons, secret prisons across Europe, that dozens of high value prisoners, those deemed to be low-value prisoners, were held in these prisons where some of the more, you know, brutal torture techniques were used, ones that never really even had any Justice Department authorization, and the CIA then would dump some of them at Guantanamo or hand them off to foreign intelligence services. And this is a pretty shocking claim, that you know, the Senate apparently just, you know, tried to, using the CIA's records, tried to find where what happened to them, and they're unaccounted for, or at least some of them, and presumed dead.
Yeah, well, but you know, I think I read in the Washington Post, at least before, that only 2 CIA captives were ever tortured to death. And that was it. And then we learned that Eric Holder, actually, that was the one case where Eric Holder had appointed a special prosecutor to investigate whether he ought to investigate the CIA agents what did those murders.
Right.
And then he decided that, no, his preliminary investigation found that, no, he should not have an investigation into those murders. So
yeah,
what about that?
That's not correct? That's clearly what we were told. And that is how Eric Holder sort of set it up, where, you know, review these cases to see if there's any evidence to bring, you know, criminal charges. And those deaths were in Afghanistan and Iraq, if I'm not mistaken. And one of them was a you know, an Iraqi police officer, I believe. So that seems to be debunked by this Senate report. Now, you know, the Senate report, by the way, it only looked at, or I shouldn't say it only looked at, but it looked at the about 119 prisoners that were in CIA custody. As far as I could tell, these are not ghost prisoners. That's a different designation. Those are prisoners who actually were kept off the books in Iraq. So, for example, in Iraq, the CIA was, you know, sort of going back and forth, and they'd have some prisoners actually at Abu Ghraib that they never, you know, were completely off the books. I don't believe, don't have that information, but I don't believe that this pertains to that. This Senate report pertains to about 119 prisoners that were more or less kept at you know, the various black sites: Poland, Romania, Lithuania, Thailand, Morocco, and Guantanamo. Again, apparently Diego Garcia and Afghanistan was the where majority of these prisoners were held, and then it goes through the. You know, there's some real shocking details, if you can believe it, if you haven't been shocked enough as it is, about the first high-value captive, and that's Abu Zubaydah. You know, it seems to, the Senate report seems to confirm that really what was being done to him was more or less like, you know, kind of an experiment research to help sort of set the stage and for the interrogations and torture of prisoners down the road, that you know, that really would be kind of part of this legal guidance that John Yoo put together. And what I mean by that is that the Senate, again, this is coming from, you know, people who have been who have read portions of the report. And I should also note that there's a lot of leaking going on in Washington right now, and Dianne Feinstein, who hates leaks, seems to be sort of like, you know, just remaining silent because the CIA is leaking their side of the story to certain reporters, and of course, you know, we're getting another look at it. But you know, the Senate report, from what I'm told, it seems to show that Abu Zubaydah was being tortured way before that memo was written, and in fact, the techniques and certain methods that were used on him, notably sleep deprivation, took on a sort of a form of research. And it was that research, that guidance that was later given to John Yoo to write the memo, which he used in there. For example, saying, oh, you can keep Abu Zubaydah up for 11 days. And that's based on research that you've done, you know, keeping Abu Zubaydah up for 11 days. So,
listen, Jason, you're not going to make me lose face on the Zubaydah thing, are you? Come on.
Yeah. In terms of what? That he was tortured in August?
Well, no, I mean, that was the quote from Ron Suskind about George Bush complaining to George Tenet. When George Tenet
informed Bush that this guy
who you keep invoking, it turns out that he's a nobody and he's half crazy and he never was Osama bin Laden's number three guy. And so you should be careful about saying that. And Bush got mad because he'd already been saying that. And so he said, you're not going to make me lose face on this.
That's right. Yeah, I took you a little too literally there. Let me say this.
Yeah, sorry. I'm
Abu
really
Zubaydah
not that funny
not
most of the time. So,
Abu Zubaydah, though, he was not crazy. He was not, you know, Suskind
well,
got that.
What he wasn't also was Osama's number three guy. And that's what's more important. Because even if he was crazy, it's more likely that they made him crazy by torturing him at Hitler's former torture base in Poland.
Right. Yes, there's an important point. He was not, you know, bin Laden's number three. In fact, you know, again, some of the material that the Senate looked at, and, you know, try to imagine, I mean, it's been difficult for me to imagine what six million records looks like. I mean, that is just unbelievable. You could imagine what's probably in those records. But they found evidence of you know, the CIA officials lying to Congress about promising members of Congress that they were not violating the ban on cruel and unusual punishment with regard to these prisoners. That you know, when questions came up about certain interrogation techniques, they were told one story, and now they, the lawmakers found out another story. So, and again, you know, just getting back to Zubeda, they, you know, found out that, you know, the CIA was doing things to him that that they were never told about, and they claimed that they asked about it. So, perhaps, you know, most troubling at this point, though, is that. You know, is that the report is going through a declassification review, and there have been promises made to you know, to these countries like Poland and the UK, I believe, and some others, that they basically won't be identified in the report. So while the report sort of, you know, is broken up into three volumes and takes a look at, you know, the genesis of this program, you know, how they were captured and detained, and the value of the intelligence, it still remains unclear if we're actually going to see, you know, first of all, any of the names of the prisoners themselves in there, you know, whether those, when that executive summary is declassified and released, whether that will actually be revealed, or whether it'll just be sort of a compilation of what was done.
Right. Well, you know, even then, good journalists like yourself will be able to read through the lines and say, oh, yeah, we already know whose genitals you cut with razor blades in Morocco to get him to make up a dirty bomb plot with Jose Padilla. We talked with his lawyer on the show yesterday. So you can blank out his name all you want. It's Binyam Mohammed, and you guys are guilty. And, I mean, what kind of crime is that? If you were a federal prosecutor and a civilian did that kind of thing to anyone under any circumstances, what kind of prosecution would happen? It'd be over in a day, and it would be decades in prison. Anyway, I wanted to get back real quick, Jason, before the break here, and whatever, and I'll turn the whole mic over to you at the end, but I wonder about what you're hearing from your sources here about the dead. At least 10 of these guys turned over to the CIA. Did they say to Egypt? I was thinking about, you know, what Robert Baer said about the rendition program, even going all the way back to the Clinton years, that, well, if you want them tortured, you send them to Bashar al-Assad in Syria. If you want them to disappear forever, you send them to Mubarak in Egypt.
Yes, I didn't put it in my story because, but I feel comfortable talking about it. You know, I did hear Syria, Egypt, and Libya. Obviously,
and
those,
Libya,
those,
that's right, yeah.
And those are countries that, you know, we have stood up and said, you know, we're involved in torture, and here we are, you know, turning some prisoners over to them as well.
Yeah, thanks for suiciding out Libby for us. We didn't want him interviewed by Jason Leopold. No,
right.
Thank you. All right, well, we'll be right back after this with more from Jason Leopold on the CIA kidnapping and torturing people to death. And the new Senate report that we may get to see some of, its summary. Phone records, financial and location data, Prism, Tempora, X-Keyscore, Boundless Informant. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for offnow.org. Now, here's the deal. Due to the Snowden revelations, we have a great opportunity for a short period of time to get some real rollback of the national surveillance state. Now, they're already trying to tire us by introducing fake reforms in the Congress. And the courts, they betray their sworn oaths to the Constitution and Bill of Rights again and again, and can in no way be trusted to stop the abuses for us. We've got to do it ourselves. How? We nullify it at the state level. It's still not easy, but the OffNow project of the 10th Amendment Center has gotten off to a great start. I mean it. There's real reason to be optimistic here. They've gotten their model legislation introduced all over the place, in state after state. I've lost count, more than a dozen. You're always wondering, yeah, but what can we do? Here's something important, something that can work if we do the work. Get started cutting off the NSA support in your state. Go to offnow.org. All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, the Scott Horton Show. I'm talking with Jason Leopold, writing for America.AlJazeera.com, and he's talking to people who have seen this summary of the Senate torture investigation, the one that is now being turned over to the CIA to be scribbled on with black magic markers before they release it. So, as he said, you know, we don't really know what we're going to get here, but it sounds like
the State Department is also, by the way, weighing in on this, and that's they're getting an opportunity to make recommendations. And you can imagine that obviously will have to do with identifying, certain countries.
Now, same thing I've been saying all along is that somebody's just got to leak the whole report, and then that'll just be it. Go ahead and put it on WikiLeaks and let the world see it. And then if a lot of Republicans and Democrats have to go to prison, including people currently in the U.S. Congress, fine with me.
Yeah.
Fine with the law, if there's such a thing as the law, after all.
Well, it's kind of interesting, Scott. At the same time, while I'm reporting on this, I also have an active Freedom of Information Act lawsuit for this report, and I've been battling the government for almost a year for this report, where they contend that it's a congressional record and not an executive branch record, which would make it subject to FOIA. So now that the report has been that there has been a vote to declassify, and it's been given up or it's being handed off to the White House, CIA, and others for a declassification, the judge in my case is actually saying, well, let's talk about this. So, my point in saying this is that, I feel like I can possibly sort of wage a little bit of a battle if they, say that, in fact, yes, this should be released under FOIA, to try to have, further unredactions made. But, in terms on the transparency front, I also want to make a note that when you release a document like this, and if it does contain the revelations that we've been promised, that we've been told by Dianne Feinstein and Mark Udall and Ron Wyden, one can then make a case to try and have other material that has been kept under wraps, that has been classified for the past 10 years, to try to pry that loose. So this could sort of open up the door to trying to gain access to other records. And I certainly would hope that other journalists sort of, take advantage of that opportunity.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you're really a pioneer in that. In fact, I'd like to mention that Kelly Vlahos at antiwar.com has a great write-up about Jason that you guys might want to take a look at. And this is sort of part of the chilling of sources since Obama's war beyond Nixon against sources and journalists in Washington, D.C., that you've just decided, you know what, I'm just going to sue your ass for the hard proof all day, and then I don't need two sources and confirmation. I got your document where you admit it yourselves, you bastards. So that's you're setting a great example for journalists about, mileage that can be gotten there, a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's funny. That's sort of what I say to my wife when I'm when she's asking me, like, why are you doing this? Yes, that's exactly it. I mean, look, when I put this report out yesterday, it should let your listeners know. I mean, these are unnamed officials. I spoke to on Monday, I spoke to a CIA officer, and he was providing me with some information as to, what his feelings were about this, why he said, why he felt that, that torture did not work. And that, people like Mike Hayden and John Rizzo and Jose Rodriguez, these top CIA officials, they're going out there and making all these claims, but they're just false. And I said, well, why don't you go on the record? Can you go on the record? Can you talk about this? And he said, are you nuts? He said, once you go on the record, once you talk about this, you're completely marginalized. The CIA marginalizes you, and what he said was, you're unemployable. Your life is turned upside down. And so, you sort of get stuck in this position where, you rely on anonymous sources. I obviously don't have this document. I have no idea what it says. I trust what they say. But, getting back to that, what you were talking about with regard to FOIA, and getting the government's documents, that's the battle. That's the fight that as a journalist, I'd like to wage, because it's, it's in the public interest. The public has a right to see it. At that point, it's like, you can't dispute a document. So, I still have directly related to this issue, to the CIA's program, black sites, et cetera, you know, other, you know, lawsuits. And I do hope that, you know, the material will come out and I'll be able to share it with everyone.
Yeah, well, I sure would like to see it. Do you have your own kind of encrypted secure drop thing where people can send documents straight to you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I have that all set up. You can see that on my, you know, on my Twitter profile. I mean, it's very easy to set that up. Yeah. Or rather, to get in touch with me that way.
Let the word go forth.
Yeah.
Leopold writes about documents.
Yeah.
Give him documents to write about.
You know, and just a, you know, on the same note, if I may, you know, on Monday, I put this report out on, again, on Al Jazeera. You know, since the Snowden leak, since the leaks by Edward Snowden last June, you know, the NSA has been inundated with Freedom of Information Act requests, 600% increase. They have seen, since the first Snowden leak, 5,200 FOIA requests compared with about 800 or so, you know, I believe the previous year. And it was great to see. I got these FOIA logs, so we were able to see what the post-Snowden FOIA requests are, and it's incredible. People are, you know, they saw these stories. They're you know, journalists, the public, you know, research groups. They're contacting, you know, the NSA, filing these FOIA requests, saying, "Hey, you know, I want this." Unfortunately, the NSA is virtually exempt from FOIA. And, you know, they mostly issue Glomars. But, you know, the point being that documents, we're in a time right now where documents, primary source material, is so valuable, and the public really, really craves that information, as you know. So it's a worthwhile effort.
Right. And you know what? It's worthwhile for the reaction, too, as Julian Assange wrote in his manifesto that, you know, the more stuff is leaked, the more they clamp down. But that also means that the government can't share information with each other about how to get away with all the horrible things that they get away with all the time. And so their power becomes that much less effective due to their own kind of suicide.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right.
So that's
true.
And they don't have the right. You know, anytime they declassify anything, you can tell that all they were trying to do is protect themselves from any accountability. I mean, you know, I don't know what would be considered a legitimate secret, but there are not many. Most of them are just about the American empire and other people's countries, none of which is legitimate at all, each and every aspect of which is a scandal that, you know, deserves to be revealed to the people.
Yeah. Yes. And look, you know, it's not as if we're at a point where all the secrets have been revealed or, you know, all the information is out there. I mean, if anything,
no, it's more secrecy than ever before.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, so it continues to, you know, it demand, you know, aggressive reporting. And so, you know, just again, with this Senate report, you know, they have a 6,600 page report, and they're releasing 480 pages in an executive summary.
Yeah.
And while that is a nice chunk of material, I mean, you know, Scott, 6,600 pages, you know, that's not that much out of, you know, what they put together. And so that really should be out there as well, even if it is declassified, but it should be out there. And it doesn't seem like, you know, there's going to be any effort to release that. So here they have, you know, this voluminous report, 6,600 pages, and to just sort of satisfy the public or to you know, keep people quiet or to say, hey, now it's over, you know, they're going to give up 480 pages. You know, at the same time, I should note that there's no, it doesn't come with any sort of recommendation for accountability, for investigation.
Yeah.
You know, back in 2009, and you and I have spoken about this before, the Senate Armed Services Committee released a parallel report. And that parallel report pertained to the treatment of detainees in custody of the U.S. military. And there was a lot of info in there about the, you know, the overlap with the CIA. And Carl Levin, who was the chairman of that committee, he recommended in that report, he said, I am making a recommendation to Eric Holder to investigate and hold people accountable. Now, of course, that never happened, as we both know. But the point being that the Senate Intelligence Committee report contains no such recommendation.
Right. Yeah. And then the Judiciary Committee, which you almost said there, they never looked at it at all.
So, right. Yeah. Yeah. So
there's no recommendation from them either.
So this report comes out, and it's like, well, you know, what next? And basically, there, you know, there isn't the next. It's,
well, and that's the most important point here is that, listen, if these guys have the authority to torture people to death, or at least the president has the authority to turn that on or off like a switch or a tap there, then there's nothing that they can't do. And if there's no accountability for this, and there's no accountability for anything in what's supposedly a democratic society here. I mean, this is torturing people to death. Right?
Yeah.
That's the end
yeah.
of it. And now we're out of time. I keep doing that to everybody's interview, talking till the end of it and not having time for any more questions. Sorry. Thanks very much for your time on the show, Jason. It's always great to talk at you.
Always appreciate it, Scott. Thank you.
That's Jason Leopold, everybody. He's great. He's at America.AlJazeera.com. Senate report contains new details on black sites. Hey, all Scott here, inviting you to check out Modern Times Magazine at ModernTimesMagazine.com. It's a great little independent publication out of Phoenix, Arizona, featuring unique views on economics, politics, foreign policy, sports, and music, with great art scene coverage and fiction writing as well. That's Modern Times Magazine at ModernTimesMagazine.com.
The military-industrial complex. The disastrous rise of misplaced power.
Hey, all Scott Horton here. I'd like for you to read this book, The War State, by Michael Swanson. America's always gone to war a lot, though in older times it would disarm for a bit between each one. But in World War II, the U.S. built a military and intelligence apparatus so large, it ended up reducing the former constitutional government to an almost ceremonial role and converting our economy into an engine of destruction. In The War State, Michael Swanson does a great job telling the sordid history of the rise of this national security state, relying on important first-hand source material, but writing for you and me. Find out how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy all alternately empowered and fought to control this imperial beast, and how the USA has gotten to where it is today. Corrupt, bankrupt, soaked in blood, despised by the world. The War State by Michael Swanson. Available at Amazon.com and at Audible.com. Or just click the logo in the right-hand margin at ScottHorton.org.
We should take nothing for granted.
Hey, all Scott here. First, I want to take a second to thank all the show's listeners, sponsors, and supporters for helping make this show what it is. I literally couldn't do it without you. And now I want to tell you about the newest way to help support the show. Whenever you shop at Amazon.com, stop by ScottHorton.org first and just click the Amazon logo on the right side of the page. That way, the show will get a kickback from Amazon's end of the sale. It won't cost you an extra cent. And it's not just books. Amazon.com sells just about everything in the world except cars, I think. So whatever you need, they've got it. Just click the Amazon logo on the right side of the page at ScottHorton.org or go to ScottHorton.org/Amazon. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson knows his stuff. He made a killing running his own hedge fund and always gets out of the stock market before the government-generated bubbles pop, which is, by the way, what he's doing right now, selling all his stocks and betting on gold and commodities. Sign up at WallStreetWindow.com and get real-time updates from Mike on all his market moves. It's hard to know how to protect your savings and earn a good return in an economy like this. Mike Swanson can help. Follow along on paper and see for yourself. WallStreetWindow.com.